So we have been going through the I am statement during the Advent. And these statements are really to be Jesus' last words on earth. This is what is known as a farewell discourse. And he only say what is important to us to prepare his disciple to live a life without him on earth. And this morning we will be looking again at who Jesus is through the I am the vine statement. So let us give our attention to the reading of God's word through John 15.
A reading from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Oh, Father, help us this morning to see Jesus. We need your help because we want to see him more clearly. We want to be able to know him more intimately. We want to be able to love him more deeply and follow him more closely. Pray for your help as you help me preach. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So my oldest is turning 5, and as a responsible dad and parents, we've been looking at really the school options in Mountain View. And that helps when you're preparing for a sermon. You sort of think about all the things that you can use for your sermon. So that reminds me of one of the stories that I had, you know, looking for kindergarten, going to kindergarten as a child. My mom was very excited, and was very anxious about this whole thing. So she, you know, got me ready to go to the open house to check out the school. And she allowed me to play at the school. And she told me all this thing, how kindergarten would be great. And I will make new friends. I will learn new things, and I get to grow up. So I was very excited. But she never told me that I would be attending the school by myself. That was not part of the conversation. So as soon as I got in the class, the teacher closed the wide toddler gate. And then my mom, of course, you know, kids, I was 5, I remembered everything. She was guilty. She was looking sheepishly about this whole thing. She waved bye to me, and then she just said bye from the other side. And then I remember she turned her back on me and walked away. I was terrified. I was upset. I felt betrayed. Never mind the room that was filled with kids, happy kids. It didn't matter. I was lonely. I knew they were staring at me. I knew I didn't belong. And I was determined to make sure that would never happen again. So from the moment I was dropped off, I cried and cried and cried until the moment she picked me up. I cried until there's no more tears in me. And people actually from the first service said, what happened? What happened? I don't remember. I turned out okay. But I remember that was the last time I went back to that particular school. What we just read is Jesus' last word to his church. Not to blame my mom, but Jesus, on the other hand, is giving all the preparation that the disciple need before Jesus departs on earth. And if you need sermon outline as we go, and I have 3 points for you for your audio markers that you want to track what I'm saying. First one is we were made for connection. And second one is why being connected is important. And the third one is how you should be connected. So first one, we were made for connection. So what did Jesus say to his disciple? Now we remember, I am the bread of life imagery, because that is something that resonates with us. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall not thirst. It resonates with us because we know, you know, we gotta eat today. Food is important. We need it to survive. I am the vine, on the other hand, is not something we often think about, especially for survival. But Jesus is saying, I am the vine because you need to be connected. And people across time, people across space have not always realized how important connection is for survival. And one of the research that was done in the 1950s was this contact comfort study with baby monkeys. Yeah, I know back in the days, people were able to do all kinds of crazy experiments on people and on baby animals. So they did this experiment. And they found out that baby monkeys needed physical comfort contact in order to survive and thrive. And some of you are thinking, that is very obvious. I know that, duh. But it's actually not intuitive if you think about it. For the longest time, we still believe, and even now, we still believe that babies are attached to mommies because they provided food. And we often overlook the importance of social bonding and social connection. So in our own context, we're probably much less socially connected and socially independent than the original audience that Jesus was talking to. And so let us take to heart. Connection is as vital as food. You know, every non-English speaker begin this English lesson in their English class. How are you? I'm fine, thank you, and you? And the other person says, I'm fine, thank you, and you? And then this just goes nonstop. I mean, this is how I learned English. Every seminary student also begin their, not I'm fine, thank you, and you, but they begin their first Greek lessons in John, the Gospel of John. Why? Because John is really simple to read, very hard to understand, but it's very, very easy to read. I mean, those are very simple stuff that even kids can grab onto. So bear with me here. In Greek and in other languages, you are able to communicate the subject of a sentence without ever using a pronoun. In other words, pronouns are embedded in the verb. We know that if you, some of the Spanish speakers are here, ¿cómo estás? Right? How are you? How many words are there? ¿Cómo estás? 2. You don't have to say ¿cómo estás tú? Right? The you is implied in the verb. But when we come to John 15, you would think, all the pronouns are sort of just implied. No, it's not. The simple Greek ego, that's the first thing you see. The you and I are strongly emphasized. It literally read this, I am the vine. You are the branches. And for those who knows linguistics or likes to be nerdy, this is called subject focus. I don't know, some of you here, have you done DTR? Do you know what DTR is? Define the relationship. I did it with my girlfriend, now is my wife. in a coffee shop. When you do DTR, you are doing subject focusing. You're not talking about sports, drinks, coffee, your mom, your dad, school, grades. You are talking about you and I. It's very awkward. Very, very awkward. So if you're a photographer, you're pulling out your 135 millimeter lens and you zoom in on the subject and you shift to another person. And that's what's happening in Greek. The pronoun pops out. And what am I saying about this is to highlight how vital it is for one subject, namely the branches, to be connected with another subject, Jesus, the vine. All things face to the background. These two things pops out right there. There must be a connection between the two subjects. You see, out of all the I am statement that we just went through during this Advent season, I am the vine is unique for that reason. Aaron Kim is not here today. He's my boss. He would say, no, that's not true. I preach I am the shepherd and you are the sheep. But you remember what Aaron said, sheep are stupid. They cannot do anything. So there is not a relational relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. They just hear the voice and do what he says, and that's it. But out of all the I am statement, I'm the bread of life, what are you? Are you the table? No. I'm the resurrection of life, what are you? I'm the door, and you are the window? There's nothing there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you are what? You don't know either, because it's not in the text. But this one, I am statement, begin with, I am the vine, and you know what's next. You are the branches. You are the branches. The subjects are being focused. You know exactly what the text is talking about. Remember when your parents try to tell you that school is important, and then you don't get it, so you play video game or watch sports and just mess around. And then your parents decided, you know what, we need to turn up a notch. It's like, Kevin, if you don't study, you will be like him on the street. You know, that warning just tell you that school is very important. Something is about to go down if you don't study. Because your parents do not want you to be homeless. So this is what's happening here in the first part of the John. All the warnings are given. The absolute necessity of this vital connection is highlighted by the warnings of Jesus. He says the connection is super important. Why? Because my father is a gardener. He is the head of quality control. He cares about everything. He cares about vital connections. A good vine dresser will not keep dead branches on the plant. Why? Because it will harm the healthy ones. The branches that do not bear fruit, they are not vitally connected. So the vine dresser, my father, will remove them. In verse 6, right, they are thrown away like branches and wither, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But verse 2, what does it say? You, on the other hand, you have been cleansed. The Greek word cleanse and prune is the same word. So you have been pruned by my word. But the warning is there to tell you that he cares a whole lot about vital connections. Quality control is there. Now, this vital connection is further expanded in the second half of the passage. Jesus doesn't just say, I'm connected, you are connected to Jesus, and that's enough. Abide in Jesus doesn't mean that it's just Jesus, myself, and I. You must connect with each other. So that's why the second half of this passage, you have the command like, love each other as I have loved you. And of course, a final word, this is my command, love each other. So we ultimately have this circular view of connection. The way to be connected to Jesus is to be connected with his people. And the way to be connected to other people is to be connected with Jesus. And that's how we are wired. This is how we are made to be. We need the connection, absolutely vital. And that leads to the second point, then why being connected is important. I want to dig into the deeper benefit of connection, the whys. You realize our life is literally incomplete when we are not connected. And I think this is why social media has become a thing in the 21st century. We love being connected with others because life is meant to be shared. Not just the time when you're experiencing success, but also the time when you're experiencing failure. You want people to know that. Deep inside, in your heart and in my heart, we have this desire to be known, this desire to belong. And this desire and this yearning to belong and to be known is universal, whether you're rich, a billionaire, or you're poor. Whether you are black or white, young and old, Asian or Caucasian, homeowners or renters, single or married, Republican or Democrat or independent, immigrant, American citizen, baby boomers, millennials, we all desire to be connected. We want to be known. We want to belong. And let's start with what connection it isn't. This connection I'm talking about is not just a formal connection. Just because you're part of Stanford with 30,000 students and employees, it doesn't mean you never feel you are belonging to this whole thing. In fact, because you're with 30,000 people, sometimes you are like the most disconnected, the most lonely. Of course, there are plenty of people around you, but these kind of superficial, formalized connection doesn't equate with the feeling, the sense of being connected. Sunday, right? Sunday is another thing that like could be the loneliest time for some people, in spite of being surrounded with people who are supposed to be close to you, supposed to love you, you sometimes feel like you are the most alone or unknown or even invisible on Sunday. And that contrast actually makes you even more sad. It's like, they're supposed to do this thing, but they're not. So we can be tricked into thinking these superficial connections are it. And researchers have found out that people actually do get wired to superficial things that are trivial. Let me give you an example. Researchers have put a bunch of strangers in a lab, and they have a couple of paintings on the wall, and tell them to choose which abstract paintings they like. And people who choose the same painting actually started showing partiality toward people who choose the same painting as them. In other words, if I tell you, if you like the old gray color blue, go sit on this side after the service. And if you like the new color green, sit on this side of the room after the service. It doesn't take much for you to start show positive vibe with people who pick the same color as you. Let me give you another example. If you're meeting someone new at Grace, do you know that it only takes a few minutes of conversation for you to really have enough data to decide that that person you're talking to truly belongs to you or you belongs to their tribe? That's all it takes, just a few minutes. You're like, oh, this person is, I'm not gonna vibe with this person. So what researchers have found is that people bond over things that are very superficial, and that's part of what the sheeps do. And so we're not talking about that, because that kind of things don't last. I mean, we're not grouping people based on the color they like. Instead, we're talking about the connection that meets several fundamental needs. And the first one is this deep connection meets a basic need for comfort and security. And we heard that earlier through the baby monkey experiment. And philosopher also, thought about it. C.S. Lewis in his book, The Four Love, he says, we are born helpless. As soon as we are fully conscious, we discover loneliness. We need others physically, emotionally, intellectually. We need them if we are to know anything, even ourselves. And the second is that a deep connection meets a need for identity. Remember after September 11th? I'm old enough to remember. There was this great harmony between American people. It was at all-time high. Everyone was kind to one another. Everybody checked up on one another. People were more connected to one another than ever. We bonded over this tragic event. And this deep bonding and this deep connection gave me a sense of identity. I've only been in the U.S. for 5 years. I was living outside of Washington, D.C. at the time. I was a high school student in molecular biology. And it was in that class when my principal used the PA system and said, turn on the news and watch the news. And we watched the whole thing fall apart. I have never seen my classmate cry. I did. They were crying because they were looking for their parents and they couldn't find them. And we hugged, like physically bonded, like we touched one another. You know, I'm not the type who goes to college. I didn't go to my college graduation. I didn't go to seminary graduation. I'm just not that type to go to this formalized thing. But guess what? I did. I went to the Kendall Vigil Service at my high school because I feel connected with these people. I gotta show up. I gotta be there for them. They gotta be there for me. That's all we have. I even put American flag on the front of my house. I don't even remember doing that any other time in my life besides that year. I knew where I belong. I was only here for 5 years, but I knew where I belong. I had a sense of identity. I was proud to be American. You see what's happening? This deep connection with one another give you a sense of identity. And I think this is also why we're drawn to sports. If you're a sports fan, you know the joy of being one. When you go to a tailgating party, you enter into a community, you get to high-five people who you don't know, but they're wearing the same color as you. Whether you're a Browns fan with 0-16 record in 2017, I was in Cleveland at one point, or the Ohio State fan with a perfect record this year, which didn't end too well last night. I love it. Why? Because sports give you a sense of belonging, a sense of identity. This deep connection meets my need or your need to belong and to be known. Like the fact that I'm telling you I'm a Buckeye, just tell you how strong I am to this whole thing, right? Like that is a self-fulfilling thing that's happening right now. So then how should you be connected? Most of the research or talks on connection refers to human or animal connection. And we know human connection alone fails us. You know, we moved away from the community we grew up. People die, people betray us. Sometimes we push people away because issues in their lives. Sometimes we push people away because issues in our own life. And we know human connection cannot ultimately meet the need the way Jesus does with a vine, that he is a vine. So to have the right kind of connection that is described in the text, we cannot just take the worldly approach. What does that mean? It means that our quest to be connected cannot begin with I. And connection is a good thing because it meets a lot of our needs. It's so easy to do it out of selfish reasons. But we cannot begin with ourselves, and that's a good thing. The quest to be connected must begin with Jesus. That's the reminder. He is the vine, and you are not. So listen to these words about who Jesus is. I am the true vine. True, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that all the vines are fake. Instead, we can think of this phrase through the word true love. Like when a person says, I have found my true love, this person is not saying every person that he or she has dated in the past were fake ones. But this person is saying, I have found a physical, spiritual, intellectual, and emotional connection with this person. The connection feels genuine. In this relation, I am known. In this relationship, I can be myself. And I want to belong to this person for the rest of my life. And this is what Jesus is saying. I am the true vine. I am the dependable vine. In me, you can find the true connections. And you, on the other hand, are the branches that belongs to the vine. But you are spiritually, biologically, and genetically connected to me. Now, to understand more, you have to know that the imagery of the vine is not new. Jesus is grabbing imagery from the Old Testament where it was used time and time again. Example, you'll find in Psalm 80 and what David just read from the prayer of confession, the psalmist talks about God's relation to the nation of Israel using this imagery. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. Israel was like a vine which was planted by God. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, he's saying, you don't belong to a place. That's, again, a good thing. But you belong to me. You know, sometimes you just miss the place you grew up. So you go back to the place and visit. And you realize you really don't miss that place. And you realize you really just miss the people you grew up with. The community that you belong to. A place that gives you a sense of identity. And you're walking down that memory land. So you realize you're not missing the place, but you're missing the memory of the place you grew up. And Jesus is saying, you don't belong to that place anymore, but you belong to me. And it's also just as shocking when you hear Jesus, I am the vine and you are the branches, if you are not a Jew, like all of us here, Gentiles. Because vine is understood as Israel. What Jesus is saying is those who are far outside of the covenant, those who are on the margins, you too belong because I am the vine. So the quest to be connected must begin with Jesus. Then what do we do with the people who are here? How do we connect with one another? How do we do this? By loving one another. Love one another. And sometimes this kind of talk just feels very cheap. And I had a friend who feels the same way. He asked me about the church I go. He says, why do you guys talk so much about loving one another? And behind this question was a bit of cynicism toward the church. Because to this friend, there are many, many places where people love one another. And I was just thinking, well, how do I answer this question? I'm a sinner. We are sinners. We are imperfect Christians. Are we better than those people out there who really love one another? I wasn't sure how to answer. I went home. It's like, do I love people because Bible tells me so? Is it because the Spirit of God helps me to love people? Or do I really love people? Do I really? And I thought a lot about, I was then distracted looking at a talk by David Brooks, a New York Times columnist, just trying to figure out why he's writing another book. This man has written so much already, so why another book? So I found a talk on YouTube, and I found out that this man went through what some would call a spiritual conversion and what others would call a midlife crisis. He talked about how his wife left him. He talked about how his kids moved out of house to colleges. He talked about how he lost all his friends in the past 4 years. So he is essentially a broken, lonely man who has no friends and family on the weekend. So he just worked and worked, and that's why he writes another book. He got nothing else to do, so you write another book. And then something happened. A miracle happened. He was invited by a group of young adults in their 20s and 30s to join their community, and they loved him well. And so when he was reflecting how all this thing happened, he asked this really, really good question in the talk. And he said, if nobody has ever loved you, do you think you could still be a good father? If nobody has ever loved you, do you think you still could still be a good father, a good neighbor, a good husband and wife? Can you do it? And that's when I know that was the answer. Why do we love one another? Because that's who we are. We have been loved. We know what love is. We cannot not love, even as an imperfect Christian. And this is what verse 9 and verse 12 says. It doesn't just say, love one another. It says, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, now love one another. Where does this love come from? It comes from the grapevine, the source of life, the one who said, I am the true grapevine, and laid down his life for us. And that love frees you to do everything. That means you no longer work for the love of people. You no longer work for the love of people. You work from the love of God. That also means in this place, it's not about the survival of the fittest. Grace Press is not about a place where you need to prove yourself that you are worthy to be loved. It is a community of love. We are to love one another. We are to lay down our life for one another. And we can do it because we've been loved. Now to close, there are a few applications I was thinking. Where do I go from here? I think the most important application from this text, from this sermon is go to CGs, host dinners. Although I do think we need to spend more time thinking about, you know, concrete and creative ways to make people connect with one another. But instead, I think whatever community thing you are called to do, don't start with I. We don't start with self. But we start with Jesus. Get to know him because he is the true vine, the only dependable one. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we know he travels fastest, travel alone. We also know who he travels furthest, travel with others. And we want to travel far. That means we need one another. We know some of us this morning are struggling to believe. We need faith. So may you help our unbelief. And some of us are struggling to belong. And I pray that you give us the courage to say, this is a worth go to pursue. It is better for us to try again and again and fail than not try again at all. So we pray that Grace Press would be a place that where we can open our hearts to one another, a place where genuine connections can be made. And we pray this in the name of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who cares and loves us. In the name of